to a new episode of The Brand Called You. I've brought you some really interesting people, and today I have someone who spent 12 years in the corporate sector and now is an entrepreneur. Pooja Sardana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's wonderful being here.
Thank you. Pooja spent 12 years in FMCG at Unilever and GSK. She's a product of IIM Ahmedabad, and now she's the founder of Skoodoo. She's a travel writer, and in her own words, she's a backpacking mama, and she's a co-founder of Jacaro Innovation. That's quite amazing stuff you're doing. Pooja, tell me a little bit about your early career.
Well, I grew up in Calcutta with a mother who was a teacher and was very strict. Mm-hmm. My parents had separated, so for her, you know, this whole thing about being independent and being able to stand on your own two feet was absolutely critical.
Correct.
So there was a lot of this focus on performance, and we only got things when we performed. So from a very early childhood, I got into this whole, cycle of effort, result, effort, result. So when I started off my career with Unilever and I became the ASM of Calcutta Metro, mm-hmm. I felt like I had arrived, you know, because that's the city I grew up in, mm-hmm. and to come to that stage was quite the thing. And from there on, I moved on to GSK, and I think I caught the tail end of the golden era of FMCG, mm-hmm. Because that was the time that the companies actually still focused on the consumer, mm-hmm. and what was important. And we did a lot of work around understanding consumer behavior and, you know, consumer insights and building off those to actually build the brand.
Okay.
So some of the very exciting work that I did during that time was around Horlicks, where we, you know, saw that kids drink Horlicks during the exam time because they study till late in the night, and the moms, rather than giving them food, give them Horlicks.
Yeah.
And we built a whole campaign around it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was also the time that we stepped beyond saying, just drink my product. It was about saying, how can we help kids perform better and prepare better for mm-hmm. exams? So a lot of the work that you see today, like, you know, celebrities wishing kids good luck, and yeah. principals giving them messages about this is not the end of the world, you know, just focus on your studies. All of this is work that we started back then in the late 2000s. So a lot of the other work, like women's Horlicks, for mm-hmm. instance, women's health today has become a big segment. A lot of startups are hanging their hat on and getting investments. And the foundation, in fact, is something that we laid back in GSK when we launched Women's Horlicks and got women to think about their health as being important as much as the rest of the family. So this part of my career has been very important to me because I've worked with some really amazing people, mm-hmm. people who were excellent colleagues, mentors, and have gone on to be lifelong friends. And have given me the values and experiences that I use as I get into entrepreneurship mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, you know, after such a successful corporate career, and, you know, sky was the limit in the corporate world as well, what encouraged you to become an entrepreneur and give up the corporate world?
So Skoodoo is born out of the passion of three people. So there's myself and there are my co-founders, Kanan and Parul. And mm-hmm. it's quite interesting because for each of us, the motivators have been a little different.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I took this learning from GSK about building brands. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, there's something that needs to be done in that space. If you launch something, there has to be that connection with the consumer around it. And for me, the journey started with long distance running. So when I started running, I read this book, Born to Run,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of changed my view of footwear and fitness in general. And they talk about barefoot, and they talk about how footwear can have such a big impact mm-hmm. on not just your feet, but your overall posture, development, etc. And I said, I mean, this is something so important, I must find the right shoes for my children,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I started looking for good footwear for kids,
mm-hmm.
and I struggled. There is no footwear today in India, apart from Skoodoo, now mm-hmm. I can say that,
mm-hmm.
that is designed for kids.
Okay.
So I used to get shoes from, abroad. When I thought of getting into entrepreneurship, it seemed to me that I should do something that I'm passionate about, and which is where this whole thing about footwear came in. And we said that, okay, I understand kids, and there are very few brands who actually talk to kids directly, apart from the candies and the chocolates. People who listen to kids, because kids are very articulate.
Correct.
And they're the most amazing people to work with because they don't have a filter. So unlike grown-ups, when you give them something and you know you want the feedback, they'll sugarcoat it and they'll mean something, they'll say something. With kids, it's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they don't like something, they'll tell you. If mm-hmm. they like something, they'll tell you.
Correct.
So that's the wonderful thing of working with kids. So I was very clear that, you know, whatever we work with will be in the space of working with kids. And footwear was something mm-hmm. that I felt quite passionately about. Kanan is someone I had worked with in GSK. Mm-hmm. And he quit a couple of months after I did. And it was interesting because his wife, Parul, was thinking about this footwear idea for a while. And in a corridor conversation, we got talking and I got to know that they were planning to do something in the footwear kids space. So we just got together and said, let's do this because...
So tell me, you know, when you say that there are certain parameters in a shoe for children, what are those parameters which are different from what the established guys are doing?
So, Ashutosh, in fact, we spent almost a year in research for this because...
And please don't share anything that is IPR or confidential.
No, absolutely. I mean, our science is out there. We want more and more people, parents and kids, to know what's good for them.
Okay.
So, I will, of course, talk about that. Mm-hmm. So, we spent almost a year in research. And the reason we did this is because we ourselves were questioning, you know, what is it that kids find uncomfortable about shoes and why is it that there are no good shoes for kids and, you know, why aren't the big companies launching something that's suitable for kids? So we spoke to a specialist like sports therapist, pediatric orthopedics, you know, podiatrists, and asked them, you know, what's up with the kids' feet. And they said that children's feet are developing till the age of 14.
Okay.
So they're fundamentally different from that of adults.
Mm-hmm.
So adult miniaturized versions of adult shoes just don't work for them. For this development that happens up to the age of 14, kids need a very high range of movement. So unlike grown-ups who will do very specific activities, like there's office and there's running and there is tennis and there is cricket, and you have a shoe designed for each of these activities, kids don't work in a compartmentalized way at all. And for them, everything is play. I mean, if you've interacted with young kids, even brushing their teeth is a play. And and they'll do it. They'll jump and they'll hop and they'll skip. They can't sit still. So their range of movement is very high. And you need shoes that are extremely flexible.
Correct.
That allow for that kind of range of movement. The other thing that they told us, the experts told us, is that kids' feet are wider from the front.
Okay.
And for better balance and posture development, the toes need room to splay.
Okay.
And spread.
Uh-huh.
Now we made shoes that are wider from the front. Typically the shoes that you will see in the market are narrow and constricted. So if you get kids to take off their regular shoes, you'll see their toes are turning inwards or their little toe is a little red. And the third bit was ground feel. Because the muscles and the arch formation of the foot needs the child to feel the contour of the ground that they're walking on. Because that sends feedback to the muscles and the nerves, and that's how they develop their posture and the arch, etc. So we made shoes that are thin and flat and have a very soft and cushioned inside. So that if a child is walking on different surfaces, he or she can actually feel the contour and adjust their posture, balance, and the muscles according to that. But at the same time, not get hurt because it's soft and cushioned from inside. So flex, fit and feel were the three parameters that the experts told us are critical for a good you know, pair of shoes for children. And that's what we built into Scudo.
Wow. And then did you set up your own plants, factories, or are you having contract manufacturing?
No, it's actually interesting because footwear development, particularly functional footwear. So these are shoes that needed development from scratch, which is our own sole. Our own materials, our own upper designs. Typically, any functional footwear, whether you pick a Nike or a Puma or any other brand, they're designed internationally. So all of the development work happens in a Europe or a US, and the ready shoe is shipped to India with the patterns and all the details and the sole all done, and it gets assembled and manufactured in India. So all the factories that are there in India, typically the large ones, are just sort of doing the manufacturing work. And places like Agra, etc., typically are picking up designs that are ready abroad and sort of doing those. So we struggled with the development segment of this itself. The design bit of it and the development bit of it. Because design itself, we had to get a designer who was capable of doing functional design. And we found Prabhat, who we are fortunate to have in our company, because he's a blue-blooded functional designer. He's worked across footwear, accessories, and you know, even mattresses. So he took this input of flex, fit, and feel and translated it into a 2D design of what can be a good pair of footwear for kids. Mm-hmm. And from there on, we worked a lot to find the right partner to work with. And eventually, Alpine Shoes, the guys who manufacture currently for Reebok and Adidas, mm-hmm. are the factory that we work with. Okay. So Sanjay and Charu Rika. When they saw the shoes and they saw our vision, they met with the team, they felt confident enough to say that, you know, even though development is not something of a core area for us, we will put that effort in and help you develop these shoes. And manufacture them with you.
Amazing. So one more question on shoes before we move to the next part. Any plans to get into the adult segment?
So our heart actually lies with kids. And the way we are building Skudo, and all three of us are passionate about building brands and being true to the consumers that we are designing for. And kids is what kind of we've chosen as the segment that we believe is underserved in the market. So for us, kids is very important, and Skudo is all about being a great playwear brand for kids.
Okay.
So we want to be to play what Nike is to sport.
Okay.
So for us, as we go forward and we grow, we're likely to move into more categories that facilitate or enable kids to play more freely.
Okay.
Than go into adults. So
That's wonderful. I mean, you know, to have such a clear focus on your vision, I would say very few startups would have that.
It comes with 50 years of gray hair. The three of us together have about that much of combined experience now. So.
Okay. So let's move to the second part, which is, you know, Pooja as a travel writer.
Yeah.
Right. When did you discover your passion to travel, and then I'll come to your writing part.
So my passion to travel is actually very closely linked to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So we met at B-School, and he's really passionate about traveling, so much so that he even got into his career's been around travel for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So Mohit is really passionate about traveling, and with him I kind of got the travel bug as well.
Okay.
And for us it's about covering the world and going to about 100 countries before we die.
Mm-hmm.
And close to about 70 now. And a lot of it, almost 35, 40 countries have been done with really young kids.
Mm-hmm.
As well. So this bit of traveling, while it was just the two of us, was out of the passion of, saying that let's go discover new places. Mm-hmm. And see the world and connect with people who are not exactly like us. And connect with nature. Because for every holiday that I go for, for Mohit it's about sports, so there has to be some sporting event that we attend. For me it's about connecting with nature, so there has to be something where we sleep under the open skies and see as many stars as we can. So for us it was, the two of us, it was like that. And when we had kids, we were a little skeptical about how much we will be able to travel with really young children. And then it came to me that, there's this part of us as we become parents, and particularly for mothers, that you put on the shelf.
Correct.
And you say, I'm going to do this later, because right now the child is the priority.
Correct.
Or that, the mental barrier of saying, I don't know if I will be able to do it. And you stop at that. It's not even that I know that I can't do this. It's about, I don't think I can, and you stop yourself. And I felt that that's not who I would want to be. And so even with really young kids, we kept on traveling. So my daughter was about 3 months old when we went to Cuba and the West Coast and Mexico. And I know many people who come back and say, we've been inspired to travel with young kids. We thought we'd give up on our holidays, but seeing you guys,
That's terrific. I mean, I'll share with you, my wife and I travel very extensively.
Right.
And our children now are grown up, but I think they've been traveling ever since they were a few months around the world.
Right.
And even now they say that the best gift you could have given us was the ability to see so many countries.
That's wonderful. There are very few people who actually take that bold step, and I'm sure your kids would have
delighted you're doing this. I'm delighted you're doing this. So tell me about now your writing. When you say you're a travel writer, is it that you got a blog that's running, or are you doing more than that?
So I do have a blog called The Backpacking Mama, which started off pretty much from the space of saying that, you know, if that there's no reason for you to stop traveling with really young kids. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about, you know, how we manage to travel with young kids, and, you know, little tips and travel itineraries and how to, and then on particular places. And then the blog kind of got discovered by the Indian Express Eye. So I wrote, occasionally write for the Indian Express as well, about countries and places that we've been to that have got the eye, and you know, the slightly offbeat locations like Greenland and Iceland is something that I wrote about, and then Lithuania and their New Year is something that I wrote about. So some of the offbeat places that we've been to.
Wonderful. Well, I hope to continue to travel to lots of countries. So tell me, out of all your travels, which are some of the areas that you've enjoyed traveling to the most?
That's like asking me to pick a favorite child. Yeah.
Or a few of them.
No, I mean, travel is really an amazing experience, and it takes you out of your comfort zone, and it helps you, you know, sort of break off from the daily humdrum of life and really reconnect with yourself as much as with the outside. And some of the places that have had an impact on me is the Amazon jungle. So I'm a big sort of nature and forest lover. So the Amazon jungle and that entire ecosystem where you have, you know, trees growing out of water. It's amazing. So I really, really like that. Then more recently and several times in South Africa, I mean, seeing the savanna grasslands and the African sun is absolutely amazing. Mm. There is nothing that takes you back to your roots like just being in the open with just nothing but animals and you know, the grass till as far as the eye can
that's
see.
True.
So that's amazing. And the one thing that I really remember is Petra. To reach the you know, there's a Sikh about a 2 kilometer long very narrow gorge that one has to walk through,
and then suddenly it stuns you.
Now there are these night walking tours that happen every Thursday or so where they take you at night through the Sikh. And I remember looking up, and it was a very clear night, and there were so many stars. It was almost like, you know, I felt like the world was upside down, and there was this river of stars, and we were looking at everything. The perspective was completely different, and it's always sort of every time that I'm getting stuck in something, I remember of that time, and, you know, change of perspective is something that can really help you look at things differently, and that had quite an impact on me.
Fantastic. So one recommendation for you, which I think was my all-time high, when my wife and I, we tracked the silverback gorillas in Rwanda. And we were sitting, the big alpha male was sitting as far as you are from me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something you must put on your bucket list to go and see that.
Yes, you're waiting for the kids to get to 12 years of age, because I believe they don't allow young kids.
You got to trek quite a bit. So Pooja, let's move on. You know, you had a good career in the corporate world. Now you're an entrepreneur. So my question to you is about gender balance. You know, I'm a very big believer that women bring probably some of the best work ethics into the workplace. Even in Guardian, about 40% of our work staff was women. And I always said they were the finest employees we had. And yet there continues to be a serious imbalance. What are some of your thoughts on how we can correct this imbalance?
So there's actually been a lot that has been said in recent years, and a lot of actions that have been taken by corporates and companies also in this regard. So I think the first thing that you said is I think the recognition of the fact that there is a different thinking and a valuable perspective that women bring to the table. And I think that has changed to quite an extent now, that people are recognizing that, you know, the point of view, the way of working, the values, and the interpersonal interaction and ways of dealing that women bring to the table are very different. So the first step is just recognizing that. And with that comes getting rid of known and unknown biases. And the reason I call out unknown biases is because a lot of people that I come across from amongst my ex-colleagues and my generation, they say that, you know, we recognize this and we believe that women are equally capable and should have a seat at the table. But in different situations and through unconscious biases will reveal that, you know, a certain way of thinking can actually take that seat away. And this comes out most when it's about maternity. And I think one of the things, big things that corporates can do to keep this, the rejoining, rate much higher than it is to support women in the process of coming back. And respecting the fact that if someone is choosing to come back to a career after a maternity break, they are making very clear choices.
Correct.
It's not a whim that draws you away from a really young child or whatever the age of that child is to say that, okay, now today let me start working and try this out and see how it goes. You know, there are very clear choices with which people come back to a career.
Yeah.
And I think one that respect should be given to that decision and support should be given to that decision, because no matter how long that break is, there is the need to be supported in joining back, and that support can come in terms of mentorship, in terms of giving the right role, which actually demands a performance. Because the worst thing one can do is give a wishy-washy role to a lady who's coming back from leave, because then that leaves her neither here nor there. You know, I'm putting everything else that I care about on hold to come back to this. I mean, that this has to be rewarding enough.
Correct.
So I think great roles, support in coming back in terms of just basic infrastructure are key things, and addressing the unconscious biases that people deal with as an organization when women come back from work are three things that can actually help organizations work better.
Wonderful. That's very well said. So let me, I've got time for a few more questions for you personally now. You know, when we started talking, you spoke about you having lots of mentors. And so my question to you is that what have been some of your learnings from some of your mentors?
So one of my mentors is actually our ex-marketing director, Shubhajit Sen, who's now doing his own sort of marketing consulting. It was amazing working with him and the team that he put together. And I think one of the key learnings for me was that the culture of the organization can make a dramatic difference to the work that you churn out. And that's something that we are carrying forward with Skudo as well. You know, this culture in GSK, and I talked about having great colleagues and great mentors. And there were a couple of things that really stood out. One was this respect for each other's work.
Correct.
The confidence that when you're putting your work in front of the entire marketing team, we used to have this thing about anybody who made an ad, you know, everybody on the floor used to be called to comment on it. So that did two things. One, that, it made each individual very conscious of the work that they were putting in. It wasn't something that you just put out there and, you know, you'd see what sales came in. It was about presenting your work to everybody and having that pride and joy of saying, this is my work. The other bit was the entire team feeling involved in this work that's happening. It's not about saying that I take care of a certain brand and only thing that matters to me is what I do over there. It was about being able to contribute to the larger marketing team. And there was the respect of saying that when I make a comment on somebody else's work in a public forum, I have to do that with a degree of respect for that person's work, which does not come very easily in a competitive environment. So it did this brilliant thing of bringing about genuinely healthy competition, because you actually did respect the other person's work and you were obviously pushed to say that I must do better.
Correct.
So being able to bring that kind of culture in a company where people want to compete, want to contribute at the same time and are aligned to that one goal that we are working together as a team is something that is really, really crucial to churning out good work.
Fantastic. So my next question is, what would be three adjectives that define Pooja?
This is one of those questions of the GD in I think more than adjectives, it's values
Okay.
that define me and things that I care about. And I think one is achievement and performance. And that comes from this constant cycle of learning.
Correct.
So one of the reasons that I quit what you said was a high performance career where the sky was the limit was because for me personal growth and learning and achievement in different areas was important. So I had done what I had to do in a corporate career, and for my personal growth and achievement it was important for me to sort of step out of that comfort zone and do something completely different. All my career had been about big names and big companies and structure. And here I am in entrepreneurship where there is no one but just the three of us or the team now, where we have to do this entirely on our own without any big name kind of backing us. So that achievement and that hard work that goes into it is one thing. The other thing is my family and the time that I spend with them. So every day, no matter what, whether I was in a corporate career or as an entrepreneur, 6:30 to 8:30 is my switch off time. And I would want to spend that time with my kids and my family and give them all that I've got. So that's important. And the third thing actually, which has become more important to me more recently, is this bit about environment and how we're living our lives. And this whole philosophy of leave no trace behind, it's so much tougher than it seems. And when you start thinking of the impact that every single choice that we make has on our environment, on our future, our kids' future, I think that's something that's more recently become more and more important to me. In every choice that I make, I try and be conscious about what traces am I leaving behind on the planet?
Okay.
Every single thing.
I agree.
Yeah, those are the three.
Okay, perfect. That's perfect. So my last question to you, and this is about failure. You deal with a lot of children. You were a product for children. And yet, most of us, over the generations, don't teach our children it's okay to fail. My question to you is that, what have been your learnings from some of your mistakes or failures?
I think some of the learnings that come from failure are the first big one is resilience and understanding your own strength. I think that's really important. So my first failure actually came way back when I had applied for the business schools and given CAT, and the first result that came out was for symbiosis, and I did not get through. And that was my first brush with a big failure because of this whole effort result cycle. And I was always the top of, in the top of the class for every single thing and everything. So that was a big failure, and I remember shutting myself in a room for 5 days and crying. And that sort of experience, just told me that this is not how I can continue to live, and I have to be more resilient than that, and this is not the end of the world. So I think this is not the end of the world is and the fact that you can live through and survive failure is one of the most important learnings from failure itself. So that was my first brush, and I think I'm stronger for it. And that's one of the reasons why I've thrown myself into entrepreneurship also. Because this journey of saying that I can survive more, I can do more, and stretching myself, that ability to stretch oneself only comes when you're comfortable with dealing with failure. And you're okay with that possibility of saying that I might not succeed at this. And nothing ever, nothing great ever comes from doing something that did not have a chance of failure.
Correct.
So any human endeavor that has resulted in any sort of achievement or greatness comes on the back of knowing that there was the alternative of failing.
Very well
so,
said.
So I think that's something
very well
that's
very well said. So Pooja, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Likewise.
I wish Skuru lots of success, and I hope you and your husband and your family reach your 100 country milestone very quickly. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast.
Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.